Thumbs up.
All set?
Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Owen Egan. I'm the West Hartford, excuse me. I am the chairman of the Freedom of Information Commission. This is the regular meeting of the commission, March 8th, 2023. The public may listen to the meeting in real time by following the instructions listed at the top of the commission's meeting agenda, currently posted on the commission's website. In addition, this meeting is being recorded in its entirety. For the benefit of the public, particularly those who may be listening to the meeting by telephone, I'll take a roll call so that the record reflects who is participating today. When I say your name, please indicate that you are present. Commissioner Barry. Commissioner Einhorn.
Present.
Commissioner Fusashi. Commissioner Hankins.
Present.
Mr. Streeter.
Present.
And myself, Chairman Owen Egan, present. Similarly, when the commission conducts a vote, it will be by roll. The first item is consideration of the minutes of the commission's meeting of February 22nd, 2023. Do I hear a motion?
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter, I move adoption of the minutes of the commission's regular meeting of February 22nd, 2023.
Commissioner Hankins, second.
Motion's been made and seconded. I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Einhorn?
Yes.
Mr. Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Next, we will consider the hearing officer's reports. I will call the docket. If you wish to address the commission on a particular docket number, please let me know when I call it and we will mark it ready. We will take up the cases in the order that they are called. First is docket number FIC 2021-0182, Deontay Tomlinson versus Armando Perez, Chief Police Department, City of Bridgeport. Are you there, Deontay Tomlinson?
Yes, I am.
Would you like to proceed?
Yes, I will.
Okay, is there anybody here from the police department from Bridgeport?
Yes, Dean Scale, Office of the City Attorney, and I'm here for the response.
Thank you, Attorney Scale. Thank you. Next is docket number FIC 2020-0651, Maria Pereira versus Chairman Bridgeport Public Safety Collaborative, City of Bridgeport et al. Are you there, Maria Pereira? Is anyone there from the City of Bridgeport?
Yes, Dina Scalo again for the City of Bridgeport. I don't need to be heard on this matter. We support adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Okay. I entertain a motion.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, there was no order in this case. I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call. Those in favor, Commissioner Einhorn?
Yes.
Mr. Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Thank you, Attorney Scala. Next is docket number FIC 2021-0162, Maria Pereira versus President, City Council, City of Bridgeport, Co-Chair, Budget Appropriations, City of Bridgeport, and City of Bridgeport. Is Maria Pereira there? Okay, Attorney Scalo?
Yes, I don't need to be heard for this matter, Dean Scalo, for the respondents. We support adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Thank you, Attorney Scalo. I'd entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter, this was dismissed for lack of jurisdiction. I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Commissioner Hankins, second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Einhorn?
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Next is docket number FIC 2022-0206, Bradley Colts versus Chair, Board of Finance, Town of Bethel, et al. Is there anyone here on this matter? Bradley Colts? I'd entertain a motion.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, this is withdrawn and dismissed. I move adoption, Commissioner Streeter, I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Commissioner Hankins, second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call. Those in favor, Commissioner Einhorn?
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins?
Yes.
Commissioner Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Next is FIC 2022-0226, Nathaniel Clark versus William Tong, Attorney General, State of Connecticut, Office of the Attorney General et al. Is there anyone here on that matter?
Yes, I'm Abhishek McCoon, here on behalf of the Attorney General's Office.
Would you like to be heard or would you like to?
I would not like to be heard. Could we just adopt the hearing officer's report?
Sure, I'm just going to call Nathaniel Clark. Are you there? I'll entertain a motion, please.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter, this was a dismissal. There's no objection of the respondent. I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Commissioner Hankins, second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Einhorn?
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins?
Yes.
Commissioner Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Thank you, counsel. Next is docket number FIC 2022-0239, David Moore versus Mayor, City of Shelton, et al. Are you there, David Moore? Is anyone here from the City of Shelton? I'd entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter, this was withdrawn and dismissed. I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Commissioner Hankins, second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call. Those in favor, Commissioner Einhorn?
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Next is docket number FIC 2022-0269, Robert Cushman versus Paul Bruce, Director of Emergency Services and Telecommunications, City of Hartford Emergency Services and Telecommunications, City of Hartford, and City of Hartford. Is Robert Cushman there? Is there anyone there from the City of Hartford? I'd entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter, this was withdrawn and dismissed. I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Commissioner Hankins, second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Einhorn?
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins?
Yes.
Commissioner Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Next is docket number FIC 2022-0293, John Goodrich versus Rachel Franco, member of Town Council, Town of Groton, et al. Are you there, John Goodrich?
Yes.
Would you like to be heard?
Yes.
Mark that ready. Is there anyone there from the Town of Groton?
Yes, I'm Christy Kelly from Sussman Shapiro on behalf of the Town Council of Groton and Rachel Franco.
Thank you. Thank you, Attorney Kitt. We'll mark that ready. Next is docket number FIC 2022-0358, Frank Bell versus Chief Police Department, City of New Britain, et al. Is Frank Bell there, please? All right. Is there anybody there from the City of New Britain? I'd entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter, this was withdrawn and dismissed. I move it up to the hearing officer's report.
Commissioner Hankins, second.
Motion's been made and seconded. I'll take a roll. Is there discussion?
Mr. Chairman, I just want to note that the date of the report is incorrect. It says February 7th, 2022, and that should be February 7th, 2023. Definitely a typo that we can correct. I just wanted to bring it to your attention.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Mr. Chairman, I think that's just a scrivener's error. I don't think we do that.
I agree. So the motion's been made and seconded. Any further discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Einhorn?
Yes.
Mr. Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. All right. So next. Before we consider the cases, I will ask the Managing Director and Associate General Counsel, Kathleen Ross, to please make the usual announcements.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As the Chairman noted, the meeting is being recorded in its entirety. So if you'd like a recording of your particular matter, you may find that recording on our website within a few days of the date of today's meeting. Pursuant to the Commission's regulations, legal argument is limited to 10 minutes per side, and I will keep track of the time of the parties.
Thank you. All right, so we're going to call the first case, which is docket number FIC 2021-0182, Deontay Tomlinson versus Armando Perez, Chief Police Department, City of Bridgeport, et al. And so we only have Attorney Scalo here, correct?
With Deontay Tomlinson.
Oh, I'm sorry. Deontay Tomlinson, are you on the phone?
Yes, I am.
Okay, all right, very good. So, So we're going to start with you, Attorney Scalo.
Sure. I just have a few really quick remarks. I won't keep everyone long. Essentially, we don't object to the findings of the hearing officer or the order. I'm happy to report that responsive records have been located, and we anticipate being able to provide the non-exempt portions of those records within this 30-day timeframe as issued by the order. Just to be clear for the record, that the records will be provided to Mr. Tomlinson at his facility, and that they will undergo redaction both by the City of Bridgeport and, I'm assuming, by the Department of Corrections. But apart from that, the city has no other substantive objections to the hearing officer's report.
Did I hear you correctly? You're going to redact information from these records?
That's correct. So pursuant to the Freedom of Information Act and various other statutory authorities, we would elect to redact or claim as wholly exempt any material that's exempt under the statute permissibly, or any material that were prohibited by statute from
Wasn't the time to make your objection prior to this?
Well, in defense of the city, this is one of those instances where the review was not yet completed by the time of the hearing in this matter. There was some difficulty navigating the hearing given that I, as counsel of record, was also conducting the legal review, so I made representations to the hearing officer in this basis, and the city is entitled under the Freedom of Information Act and various other statutes to conduct this review. The review is, again, like I mentioned, essentially
to conduct the review before the hearing. They have to make their redactions and their arguments before the hearing, not after the hearing. That's my confusion. I'm not sure why you think you get to redact things from the document after the hearing.
Well, initially in the order of the hearing officer here, there's no specific mention that the records have to be provided unredacted. In the past, again, unfortunately, our hand has been a little bit forced with the volume of records that we've or records requests that we've received. Under the Freedom of Information Act, there's a case 2013-423 that indicates that a public agency is entitled to conduct its review to ensure that no exempt material is disclosed. And so
that's supposed to be done in advance, not after the order is issued. You're supposed to make the objection, note your exception for the record, and let it be ruled on, not after. You don't get a bite at the apple after. And this is not the first time this has happened. You've come up with this argument before. So I'm concerned about that. Why are you redacting? Why do you think you reserve the right to redact records?
I think because the basis of the complaint in this case was non-production of records. And so we are, as was represented to the hearing officer and is noted in the final decision, you know, we have committed to providing non-exempt copies of those records. And I believe that the law is clear that the city should be entitled to review those records and ensure that no exempt material is being disclosed.
What law gives you the entitlement? What law gives your client the entitlement to redact the records after an order is issued?
Well, respectfully, this order has not been adopted yet. And within the 30 days that production is required, the review will be finalized and disclosed. And to the extent that Mr. Tomlinson has any objections to the redactions, we will certainly...
I don't hear a law. I need to understand what law you're citing to that gives you the right to redact records after you're ordered to disclose all of the records.
Respectfully, as I mentioned, it's FIC 2013-423. It is a commission precedent that specifically says that a public agency is entitled to conduct a review of responsive materials. With respect to the order, I completely understand your...
And you had that opportunity when you had this request. For how many months? You had the opportunity to do that and redact, ask that these items be redacted, and you didn't do that.
I believe that it may have, my recollection is not great. The hearing was some time ago. I believe that the discussion of review had been raised at the hearing. I had represented that. I'm not sure whether it's noted in the final decision. But respectfully, we would reserve the right to make those redactions. And again, if Mr. Tomlinson has any issue with the redactions, the complaint was based on non-production of records, and the complaint was filed some weeks after the initial request was received. We certainly understand that there's an issue regarding promptness. We certainly own that. But with all due respect, especially given the nature of the records, given previous evidence that's been before this body, we would continue to reserve the right to redact material that we concede or that we believe is exempt from disclosure under the statute.
Okay. we haven't heard from the other party, but I don't know Commissioner Hankins or Commissioner Streeter has anything to say.
I'll wait till after hear the complainants.
Okay, well, it's been 3 years since the request, over 3 years. You know, and I think Bridgeport's getting its act together from what I understand. Slowly. But I would be reluctant to let a witness statement slip through. I mean, we did modify the matter with to the Peeler. The Peeler case had witness statements that we had, you know, redacted. But, you know, I don't think Bridgeport, if it's permitted a review, should be overly generous in the exemptions. I think that they should, you know, be just really limited to witness statements, you know, the identity of informants or something like that, not a broad-ranging exemptions.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, John Einhorn, I just want to note for the record that we don't recognize the town of Brantford's reserving the right to do anything. This is an order if it's granted, and they have no authority to reserve the right from an order.
Precisely what I'm saying, Mr. Chairman.
Can I
put it's a city of Bridgeport is what he means, city of Bridgeport.
Understood.
Bridgeport, yeah.
Would I be able to quickly respond?
Yes, I do want to hear from the complainant.
Certainly. So just to, again, I just want to highlight that the order indicates, and it's a proposed order, it's not a final order yet, but it provides the respondent shall provide the complainant a copy of all records responsive to the request free of charge. The commission has made the effort to highlight that the record should be unredacted. In many other circumstances, the fact that that language is missing from this order in this case, I would argue that it's almost presumptive that the city should be able to review its records and the liability to the city in allowing something that is prohibited under statute from being withheld, notwithstanding all of the freedom of information exemptions.
Scale, you understand what I'm saying.
Oh, absolutely.
No other town comes in here and says, we want another opportunity after the order is issued to redact records. They redact and they claim their exemption, and then they have that exemption and argued and heard before a hearing officer. In this case, it was Attorney Schwind. So you had your opportunity to argue then. You should have said, these are the things I want redacted, these are the things I don't want disclosed. That's your job. That's not you, but your city's job. You had 3 years to do it. You didn't do it. Now you're saying, just issue the order, commission, and then we'll take a crack at it, and then we'll tell you what we're going to redact. And you're just going to arbitrarily pick out what you want to redact. It doesn't work that way. You know it doesn't work that way, unless you don't understand the law. I think you do. You have to do it before the hearing, and you have to make your arguments before the hearing, which means you have to do your homework, and you have to redact the things prior to the hearing and claim your exemption so that you can say, these are the things we don't want to disclose. Here you're saying, we're going to disclose them, even though you've ordered us to disclose all the records. We're going to redact whatever we think is necessary. I know your city is in a pickle because they haven't done their job, but they had 3 years to do this, and it's your arguments aren't making any sense. So I want to hear from the complainant, please. Deontay.
Yes, sir.
Tomlinson. Yes.
I would just like to say that I do object to any redactions because I feel like it will prolong the process even further than it has already taken. And in the order that was decided, it was 30 days within February 8th, and today is March 8th, so that 30-day period has ran up also. So, and I was told they should have the documents ready before that 30-day mark, and I still haven't received not one document. And if it was I wouldn't have any problem with redactions if it was done in a timely fashion. But it's been 3 years I've been waiting and haven't gotten. I got responses at first, but then I just was tossed away and never heard from again. So I had to file a grievance and follow the proper steps. So I object to any more. Anything that's going to prolong me receiving these documents. So I definitely object to the redactions.
So just so you understand, that they have 30 days from the notice of the final decision. The final decision will happen here today, I believe. And so then they'll have 30 days from there to disclose the records. and then they will disclose them to your facility. Your facility may redact records, and that's a separate matter. They have other issues. When they see them, they may do redactions. Okay?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Anything further, sir?
Pursuant to the law, I was told that it should be a fine if I was denied without any reason to be denied, and I will request that because it's been 3 long years. I can't even go through my case or anything without certain documents that I'm requesting, and I've been waiting 3 years to review some of these documents and to no prevail. So I definitely will like a fine if that's possible.
Okay. Thank you. Attorney Schwinn.
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Is it your understanding that the City of Bridgeport will now have the opportunity to redact the records that they're ordered to disclose?
No, it wasn't. My intention was to order the disclosure of the records unredacted because we didn't have any argument about exemptions at the hearing. I will note, though, that as the chairman has indicated, because this is an incarcerated individual who has made the request under the statute, the Department of Correction has the right to go through and claim exemptions if they feel it's appropriate. And Mr. Tomlinson, at that point, if he wanted to appeal those, would have the opportunity to do that.
So they'd be a safety net. This is Commissioner Hankins. In other words, they'd be a safety net for Bridgeport, in essence.
It's just an extra layer that the legislature thought was appropriate with when it's an incarcerated individual to protect the security of the facility.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Commissioner Street. So, Attorney Schwinn, so if there's redactions, who would be the... Mr. Tomlinson's complaint as far as non-production of records, is it going to be then against DOC?
Yeah.
Or is it against the City of Bridgeport?
It would be against...
In this case, I think it's against the City of Bridgeport. They'd have to prove that it was DOC that made these redactions. And then would have to go then, you know, name them as an additional party.
We would first see how Mr. Tomlinson writes his complaint. Mm-hmm. But normally in these situations, it would be against... the Department of Correction.
But in this case, we've already heard that there's going to be redactions the City of Bridgeport and that there's possibly redactions against. On this recording goes to court because they're going to say, you know, he's going to have an opportunity here and it's on the record.
I would imagine if it does play out that way and that the department, the City of Bridgeport does supply the information with redactions, I would think that they would be named as well.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. I understand your point from... do you want to repeat that again, what we did in the other case?
If I can remember, yes.
That was as a courtesy to...
Well, yes. I mean, I think given the particular circumstances in that case and the particular individual, we did not want witness statements going out. Here, the DOC would actually act as a failsafe. You know, I think it's easy to look at witness statements because they're signed by a witness. It says witness, and the person signs them. So I think that against, you know, to protect Bridgeport against itself and the people who are witnesses, I think that should be permitted. And, you know, I'm hesitant to do it because it's been 3 years. But I would not want to see witness statements going. The other thing is there is a fail-safe by the DOC. So the DOC might look at that and say, well, we shouldn't have witness statements either. So I think, you know, each one sifts a little finer as they go through the system.
So would you leave the order as it is, or would you add... I thought you were leaning towards allowing them to redact the witness statements.
No, I think that 3 years, I mean, Witness statements are permissive, right?
Correct.
Okay, then no. And if the DOC wants to do it, then have them do it. That's how I see it.
May I have one more opportunity to respond, please?
Yes, Attorney Scala, yes.
I fully understand that there has been a significant amount of time that has elapsed since Mr. Tomlinson's request first came to me. As I represented and as an officer of the court, I hope my word carries weight, that within 30 days, the non-exempt portions of those records will be provided to Mr. Tomlinson. I think that it is extremely problematic given the nature of this request, which is for a criminal record, a homicide record, if I'm not mistaken, to be released without redactions as a punitive measure against the city. Mr. Tomlinson will receive his records within those 30 days, whether there are redactions or no redactions. But the redactions, which again, it's the city's position, we are in some instances obligated to make under separate statutes, and in some instances permitted to make under the Freedom of Information Act. It is an irresponsible act for the city to provide records that are unredacted in this instance. We certainly share the concerns of the commission in terms of the timeliness of records being provided. And it's our hope that with this new procedure that we've outlined, that that won't be an issue, certainly to the extent that it has been. But in my opinion, with all due respect, allowing unredacted records to be disclosed when it will not have any meaningful increase in time to which the records will be provided to Mr. Tomlinson will be extremely problematic given the nature of the records. I can make a representation here today that to the extent that we're permitted to redact witness statements and other materials under 1210B3A, the unknown witnesses and informants, we will certainly do that, and we will, you know, make our way when it comes to other statutorily required redactions that we're obligated to make. But I would ask this commission to think very seriously regarding the consequences of unredacted records having been being disclosed in response to this order. And I would also like to just point out that regarding the Department of Corrections, they have an entirely different statutory mechanism for making redactions. It's a different standard. They may or may not redact the same materials that we do based on whether it's problematic for their safety and security of the facility. So thank you very much for allowing me to present this argument, and I'll be happy to answer any other questions.
Thank you. Attorney Scala, have you started your review of these documents?
Yes.
How thick are they?
It's a homicide file, so it's 1,000 files.
Okay. All right.
How many inches is that?
I don't know.
That's about
less than a foot in paper files.
Yeah. So about 500, 600 pages?
I would say hundreds. I don't have the number off the top of my head.
Attorney Swindon.
I would just say, Mr. Chairman, that this isn't a punitive measure. Commission's just following the law.
I agree. I take issue, Attorney Scala, with your representation that you will give all non-exempt records. Do you see in that order anywhere it says that you will give all non-exempt records? In other words, do you see in that order where it gives you permission to withhold exempt records?
I do not see that
That's the order then. That's it. That's the order. That's what you're to comply with, because that's what the law is. Your time to make your objections, not yours, but your client's time to make their objection, was at the hearing. Here's our exemption. This is why we claim we're not giving this person the records. Otherwise, they should have coughed up the records and given them to him. Mm-hmm. Given them to him. That's gone. That time is gone. But it's not after the order is entered that you say, I'll give them all the non-exempt records. You're making the order. We're not making the order. That isn't appropriate. So I take issue with you when you say, I'll represent to you that we'll give them all non-exempt records, when the order says you'll give them all the records. That's what it says. Do you follow that?
I absolutely do, and I respectfully disagree. This is a proposed order at the time. This is the time for legal argument. Our legal position is that the respondents are entitled to make and in some instances compelled to make certain redactions or withholdings under the law. I understand. I absolutely understand.
You're going to then make that decision. We're not making a decision. You're making that decision. And we didn't even get to look at the records that you're going to claim are exempt.
And
the gentleman who wants them isn't going to get to look at them. You're just going to say, we'll give you what we can, what we think is right. And okay, the order's okay, but we'll give you what we want to give you, not what the order says. That's the purpose of this commission, is we review your exemptions and determine whether they're good exemptions or not.
I understand, Mr. Chairman. And that...
Is this a give and take? Is she just going to have a conversation with you, or are we going to get to a point where we can, you know, I mean, you're giving your say. I mean, I don't think that it's you know, she talks about irresponsible. She's just responding here. She's just acting like she's having a personal conversation with you, and we still have the floor, do we not?
Sure.
Okay.
Would you like,
I mean, it's just like the past 10 minutes, she's been going a tit for tat here, and I'm kind of think that's, okay. That's a, you know, unprofessional act. She talks about irresponsible acts.
Do you have any?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. So, I mean, the chance for her, she should have at some point in the past, Attorney Scallo, should have asked for some sort of continuance or a remand so that she can discuss these. But it sounds like she's coming to us at the last hour. She keeps saying, oh, this is a proposed order. But she knew this was coming down the pike. This was mailed out on November 10th of 2022. So it's not like something that just showed up in her mailbox in the last couple of weeks. And she making claims that it could be between, you know, some sort of hundreds, could be between, you know, 500 and 1,000 records that they're continuing to go through. But I echo the chairman's concern that we do not know what exemptions they're going to claim. And at this point, there are no exempt records. They are all now going to be, because of the irresponsibility of the city of Bridgeport, these are now records. And if the DOC decides that they want to redact them, well, then they can do that. And then they can answer, you know, our orders to come before us and explain why they are making those redactions. And then we get a chance to look at them in camera. But at this point, the only irresponsible acts have been on the city of Bridgeport. And to say that if they were to release them, it's an irresponsible act, it's just compounding their own acts. So unless, you know, the hearing officer thought that we might be able to, you know, give them some time to come back with redactions, but the fact that she has testified here that they're, on behalf of her clients, that there's probably 5 to 1,000 pages, I don't see how they're going to get those done within the next 30 days. And it's also irresponsible that they haven't provided any records that they found do not need redactions. This was November 10th, 2022 that this order came down. We're talking almost, you know, 5 months. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Commissioner Streeter. Commissioner Einhorn?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I'm wondering if we should amend the order to make it clear. As you point out, there's nothing in the proposed order that says they can redact anything, so it's probably unnecessary to amend the order, but I think the record's pretty clear with our position on this, and that the town's position is just, city's position is just contrary to the law.
Yes, I'm concerned for protecting third parties and witnesses, you know, from Bridgeport's irresponsible behavior, you know. That's the only concern I have. You know, if it's clear that it's a witness statement, I think it should be taken out. That can be done in 2 days, you know, like over a weekend. You know, when I was a municipal attorney, I worked over the weekend, you know, and it wasn't just 9 to 5. And, you know, Bridgeport needs more people. I mean, it's clear, it needs a different system than this. But I think we have to protect people who are witnesses to this.
So do you want to amend the order?
Well, no, I guess for the limited purpose of redacting witness statements. I mean, there's probably more exemptions, but I'm not willing to give them either. And I think it's, and you know, I think 30 days is overly generous. I mean, give them 2 weeks. you know, and they can start their new system now. Have the police go through them, pick out the witness statements, show them to counsel, you know. I don't know. I mean, the mechanisms, you know, I used to have to do this stuff myself. You know, I used to have to do it, you know, since 1988. So, you know, we did it. There wasn't anybody doing it but me. There were 60,000 people. I know that's smaller than Bridgeport. But, you know, 60,000 people, a city of 60,000 people. But, I mean, I'm only willing to protect third parties. And the reason is to protect third parties against Bridgeport's lack of following the FOI. And that's only through their witness statements, because they cooperated with the police to supposedly catch somebody. You know, they were helping the police. So I don't think that they should be put at peril because Bridgeport's conduct, lack of doing anything.
I don't mean to be skeptical, John Einhorn again, but how do we know that's really the case without reviewing whatever they're going to redact? As the chairman said, we don't know what they're going to take out because they haven't raised the potential exemptions. We haven't had a chance to review them in camera. I don't particularly trust the respondent to make that decision for us.
I think, this Commissioner Hankins, your point is well taken, Commissioner Einhorn, but that would only delay it anymore. I mean, the complainant has been waiting 3 years to use this information to help in his criminal appeals. So he's been just, you know, circling the drain for 3 years, waiting patiently for this stuff. And that's really a disservice to them. I mean, if it's 500, you know, or 600 pages, they could have fed it to him on a rolling basis. You know, the stuff that's clearly not exempt, to give it to him, you know, and maybe he can use it for something. And the other stuff, I mean, if it's 600 pages, 3 years, what's that, like a page, 2 pages a day? You know, I didn't repeat high school math like a couple of times for nothing, you know. But I mean, I think could have been done a lot better. But I'm kind of loath to let just unredacted witness statements, you know, or just cross off the identity of them or something. I don't know. I mean, with a criminal murder investigation, there must have been some witnesses they talked to, I would think. I don't know how probative their evidence was. I'm at a loss. I mean, I don't want to hurt innocent people because of a, you know, Bridgeport's failure to comply with the law.
My sense is that there's a mechanism to deal with that, which is if the town isn't happy with our ultimate decision, they can appeal it.
Yeah.
And that's fine. But I don't think it's our job to delay this any further allow the city of Bridgeport to unilaterally decide what they think they should redact at this late hour. So okay. I would go the normal procedure. If we order that everything is submitted without redaction, if they're upset about that, they'll appeal. If the state's attorney feels that these are matters on some sort of a pending basis or some basis that the state's attorney thinks should be protected, then I'm sure he or she will get involved. But I don't think at this point it's our job to do what the town didn't do.
So we can let the Superior Court and then maybe an appellate court sift through the same stuff that we did. I'm agreeing with you.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
That would be the result. And then,
yeah.
I mean, let them go through it. And the problem with that also is that the complainant, it gets delayed another 14 months. You know, so maybe as a show of good faith, the city of Bridgeport can give the complainant the stuff that they know shouldn't be redacted at all. And then just really, without losing their appeal rights, you know, just fight for the ones that they think should be exempted. And that way kind of serves both parties. I mean, but that's up to them. I mean, they can appeal the entire order. I'm just saying maybe as a show of good faith, they would want, Bridgeport would want to do that. But we just vote to uphold the decision and, you know, kind of let the chips fall where they may.
So you don't want to modify the decision?
No. No, Commissioner Einhorn was
convinced you.
No, I think we ought to leave it as it is. And I'm not sure. I was thinking about making it stronger, but I don't think it's necessary. We certainly don't exempt out potential redactions. I was going to suggest that it be submitted without redactions, but I think that's obvious. So I think,
yeah.
I don't think we need to modify it, or I would.
Of course, I will do whatever the commission wishes, but I feel that the report should be adopted as is.
Thank you. Okay.
I think she put that. I had interrupted her. She may have more to say.
Oh, yeah.
The response.
Do you want to say anything further, Attorney Scala?
One more note. Yes, I would. To the extent that records will be provided within 30 days with redactions, that will still absolutely happen no matter what. I would like to note that should the commission allow these redactions to move forward, Mr. Tomlinson is not without recourse with respect to those redactions. This body has decided in a previous matter, I believe in July, I don't have the docket number at my fingertips, but there was an instance where the complainant submitted their complaint for a promptness issue, and then eventually redactions ended up coming into the mix, and this body decided that because it wasn't pled in the complaint that it wasn't an issue that should have been before the commission. And so in that instance, that complainant would have the opportunity, after having received the redacted documents, after having, you know, complied with the order to provide any records, to come back to the commission and specifically say, well, I have a problem with these redactions, I don't have a problem with these. I certainly understand the commission's position on this, but it's the city's position that these redactions are important to do for the purpose of protecting these third parties. If it needs to only be limited to the redactions pertaining to witnesses, we have certainly no objection to that. But I take issue with the suggestion that Mr. Tomlinson, after these 30 days, that there would be nothing left for him. My understanding would be that he would be able to come back and contest any redactions that he had an issue with.
Thank you, Attorney Scala. I appreciate it.
Mr. Chairman, yes. I have just a question for the Attorney Schwinn. So jurisdictionally, if it takes 30 days for the city of Bridgeport to turn over these records, and then at some point the DOC takes months to go through this stack of records, whatever it be, is there a time limit on the appeal process for the completed for a jurisdictional for non-compliance?
If it's a court appeal, yes, there's a time limit. It's 45 days from the date that the notice of final decision goes out. I think what Attorney Scala was alluding to was Mr. Tomlinson could file what we call a non-compliance complaint here with us administratively, and that time limit would be within 30 days from the date that he got the records.
So that's my point. So he does have a mechanism that if he receives the records 4 months from now,
mm-hmm.
and that's when the first they show up, that he can. But my question then is, what if he gets some records that do not have redactions and they're sort of rolled out, and then they provide him with the ones that do have redactions? I just want to give the complainant the opportunity so that he doesn't, you know, time out of his jurisdiction.
It would be within 30 days of his last communication from the respondents. So, depending on how that plays out. Attorney Scala has indicated to this body that it's going to get everything that they're giving within 30 days of the notice of final decision.
But that's what she's attesting. Mm-hmm. If it gets to DOC and she says that she gives it to DOC, he does not know that. If they're held up at DOC, mm-hmm. the Department of Corrections.
Right.
For some reason, he doesn't know that they've been, you know, given to him.
Yeah, I'm not sure what their process is in the facility.
I just want to make sure that we have an opportunity to extend jurisdiction if he did not receive them until 60 days.
Within 30 days of his, in other words,
so
within
30 days he should appeal if he hasn't gotten it.
Right.
Okay.
I just want to make sure. Did you understand that, Mr. Tomlinson?
So who would, I hear what you're saying, but I wouldn't know exactly who do I appeal to or how that process will work.
Mr. Tomlinson.
Hang on a second. Let's get an answer for you. Hang on.
Mr. Tomlinson, yes, you could appeal to the commission just as you did the last time. Just need to send a letter stating to the commission that you believe you haven't received everything that was ordered. And we would go from there. It would get a new docket number, but it's basically the same process.
So Commissioner Streeter raises a good point. The records go to the DOC, and then they hold on to them. Mr. Tomlinson doesn't have the records after 30 days, and then he has to file something that says, I didn't get the records with us?
He could at that point, because it's DOC. Been ordered. It's been ordered, and he doesn't have them in hand. He could file a complaint.
And then Attorney Scala would come back and say, well, we've complied. We sent the records to DOC as we're required. And then what happens?
Well, we would have to see what the complaint says, and we'd make the determinations at that point in docketing as to who the correct summons would be. But he's certainly not prohibited from doing that. If that's what he wants to do, he can do that.
The only reason I bring that up is the very first paragraph out of the respondents was that we're going to make redactions and DOC is going to make redactions right off the bat. So that's my concern, is that there's going to be a time lag at some point. Mm-hmm. And the question is, DOC is not in the caption here. And mm-hmm. Bridgeport could be all set. They said, we did what we did. But now his complaint is still against the city of Bridgeport when it's now DOC that's slowing down the process or making additional redactions there.
In the review process, when we get a complaint, we look at all the factors. Okay. Depends on how the facts play out. But generally, an individual, if they feel they've been denied access, they've got 30 days from that date.
Okay. Thank you very much.
But then, as Commissioner Streeter appropriately raises the point, then we might have to deal with who redacted what.
Yeah.
Because Attorney Scalo seems to say that they're going to redact things. And so we're not going to know who redacted what part of it.
In that case, we would make our best determination as to name the appropriate parties and sort it all out at a hearing at some point.
If he objected in 30 days and said he didn't have the records, could we then look at the records that were disclosed by City of Bridgeport?
Yes, because at that point, 30 days, the complaint would certainly at least include the city of Bridgeport. It would be, the complaint would be failure to comply with an order. And then we go from there. I'm not sure, I don't want to predict what's going to happen when they get to the facility.
Thank you.
So one more question. Yes, Commissioner Street. So, Attorney Swin, so if it gets a new, as you said, if there's the complaint, it's a new caption, at that point, Mr. Tomlinson can bring up civil penalties?
Yes. Since
he did bring that up in this case, but at that point.
As any complainant can do so, yes.
So, sorry. Okay, thank you.
Is there anything further from the commissioners? All right, I'd entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move the adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Einhorn?
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Thank you, Mr. Tomlinson. Thank you, Attorney Scala. Are you on the next matter, Attorney Scala?
I think you were adopted.
We already adopted.
Oh, okay.
The next one we have is on the second page, 293. Okay.
Thank you, Attorney Scala. I don't want you to feel that we're picking on you. It's,
not at all.
Not this time.
It is the law. All right. Thank you. Great. So we're on. The next matter is docket number FIC 2022-0293. John Tidbridge versus Rachel Franco, Greenbush Town Council, Town of Groton, and Town Council, Town of Groton. Hi, could you identify yourself for the record?
Yes,
please?
John Goodrich, complainant.
And I'm Christy Kelly from Sussman Shapiro on behalf of the Town Council of the Town of Groton and Rachel Franco, member of the Town Council of Town of Groton.
Okay. So this matter, I believe, is
to the peer.
I know failure to prosecute. So I think we have to address that. So, Mr. Digger, can you help us with that? You didn't show.
Yes. So, I had spoken to Attorney Kelly that week, but maybe possibly working out a agreement, if that's the right word. She had asked me to email her, which I did. There was definitely a technical issue on the side of Sussman Shapiro to this day. My emails get put in their spam filter. They don't get them. I may have a technical issue too, because I actually emailed the commission the day before requesting a continuance. I have a little sister with Down syndrome, and I'm her caretaker. And I knew on the Thursday before the hearing that her piece, she was sick. My sister had to stay at home, and I could get a PCA to cover her. So I requested a continuance, emailed everybody, like I said, definitely on Sussman Shapiro's side and most possibly my side, because you guys didn't get it. I did email everybody. I have copies of the emails for Attorney Kelly, you folks, if you like them. So I'll keep it brief. I'd like to request that the proposed order be withdrawn and that I get a chance to show up at the commission and have my case heard.
Kelly, you have any objection?
Well, at this point in time, you know, I think that a long since time has passed. If he, it was what Mr. Goodrich apparently says he sent an email. He sent emails to both myself and the commission. I gave my consent to or non-objection at that point in time, it still was up to the commission to rule on that. He did not show up that date despite having not heard from the commission. He wasn't granted a continuance on that day, and we've had 5 weeks that have since passed since then that this could have been brought up long before even a proposed order was made. We're here again. The town has expended funds to come up here again to address this matter. It is my position at this point in time that his time to be heard was on the 27th of January, having not received a granted continuance. There was not, to the representation that the town was entertaining an amicable resolution to this. What I had asked for from him was just, you know, indication, provide me with some record that you have that indicated that these might have been public records or a statutory reference that he believed and required the town to produce records that it did not have in its possession. I think continuing this matter further, unfortunately, is just a continued waste of expenses for the town. And I am not in favor of granting a continuance at this point in time.
May I say something?
Sure.
So, correct. She did. I accept. Would you entertain it? She sent me an email saying they would. I did send her the requested documents. Again, in fairness to Attorney Kelly, it did get caught in the spam filter. I don't think I can be held responsible to know who's getting emails or not. If they don't respond, I have to assume, if I don't get a bounce back for a mailer demon, that it's been received. And I do apologize as a pro se, maybe I'm not as well versed in the law as I should be and as you folks are, but it was actually February 1st when I think I got an email from somebody in the commission, I can't remember to tell you who, and I actually called Tom Hennick. I remember because I was at the Black History event at the town of Groton. I stepped away and talked to Mr. Hennick and said, what do I do? And this was February 1st, I may not have gotten this yet, and he said, you'll receive something from the commission and there'll be a date like this that I can come, and that's just the advice I took. And again, as a pro se, if I don't know the law properly, I do apologize. I'm not trying to turn off like you folks, and I'm just trying to do the right thing.
And sir, if this matter is dismissed, you're just going to refile, correct?
If that's the proper process.
It doesn't kill your case. You just have to refile and get to the back of the line.
Okay.
That's all.
You're right.
So, council, the town is going to have to deal with this matter regardless. So if they deal with it now or they deal with it, you know, a few months from now, it's still going to have to deal with this issue.
Well, if I may, if his case is dismissed here, the time frame for filing the complaint has long since passed.
He just has to file another complaint.
He just has to make another request.
Yeah.
And file a complaint.
And then the response
we're going to approve this. I don't think we're remanding this, right?
I don't know. I think that it's...
I think we're not dismissing it with prejudice. We're just dismissing it because failing to appear and resulting in a waste of scarce resources. Yeah. There's nothing that he can feel. So I would say he has to start back at the, and that basically gives the whole commission the chance to, or actually gives the respondent the chance to respond, and then another additional, it gets appealed another 12 months.
I think just as a practical matter, it probably should be remanded because the city's going to be back in the same spot. Town or city is going to be back in the same.
So if we dismiss it, they're going to still be back in the same spot,
right.
Except longer back.
Right.
I'm sympathetic to both sides, but there's a lot of money spent by.
I'm looking at it just from a practical standpoint. Attorney Kelly is prepared. She said she spent 5 hours preparing for this hearing, so it would be easier for her to remember what she prepared, if it's done in a month from now, as opposed to, many months from now. I think the explanation was legitimate.
Actually, I don't. He sent an email. He didn't get any response from the. I apologize, Mr. Streeter.
Yeah.
He didn't get a response. He just assumed that if he can send something the day before, allegedly sent something the day before, that didn't arrive at the commission, did not arrive at the respondent, that he just doesn't have to show up and failed to appear.
I did the emails that the commission would like to give.
The day before is too late.
I understand. I'm sorry.
Unless he had a medical issue or he was in a car accident, in this instance, his sister had a medical issue. He's a caretaker. Or so he ended. He had to.
Do we have no record of any email?
Mr. Chairman, you may want to hear from the hearing officer on this. And I just want to note that the complaint was filed on July 8th of 2022. So it would expire July 7th of this year. So there would be some time to hear this.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
For the record, Zach Hyde. I was the hearing officer on this matter. I have no record or recollection of a continued request. However, we did get a motion to dismiss from the respondents. And 2 days before the hearing, I did receive an elaborate objection to that motion to dismiss from the complainant. And so I denied the motion to dismiss, and then we were supposed to have the hearing. And so that was the last record I had of communication from anyone.
I never got that motion, that denied motion from you.
I don't deal with sending those out, so I'm not sure. But our records do show that the motion to dismiss was denied. It was 2 days before the hearing, so that could be the reason why.
Thank you, Attorney.
Did you receive the objection from the complainant via email?
I have a copy of that email. It was sent to our general FOI list, and then to my email, a long version of my email address was written.
So it was received by the commission from
yes.
the complainant
yes.
by email.
Yes, forwarded to me. Yes.
Thank you, Commissioner Einhorn.
Well, I understand the issue, but I tend to agree with you that let's just send it back and it's going to be refiled anyway. So this seems to be the better way to handle it.
We're going to have a tie.
we will, because there's like two and a half months left to get this done, and it's not going to happen, and it's going to
be tight.
Well, I mean, the thing is, they might work it out too, but.
Right.
So, since we're talking about it, this is Commissioner Hankins. I'm inclined to just start fresh again, and the stuff's written down so Attorney Kelly can remember it, if they go to the back of the line, there's just too many imponderables here, and I would just say put it to the back of the line, and maybe time will take care of it, maybe the parties can work it out or what. But, I think, we'd be even hurrying it if it was toward July, I'm just given the waste of resources here to send it back.
Again, I just think it's...
I mean, not to send it back, to send it way home, dismiss the whole thing.
Yeah. I think it's fresh in everybody's mind, but
It's not fresh in my mind. This is just a, you know, failure to prosecute, you know? I mean, it may be fresh in the party's minds,
right,
but,
right,
you know, maybe they can work something out. Maybe they can't. But, yeah, you know, they can at least open the lines of communication if they want to and work on their email systems, you know? And, you know, I mean, 90% of these things settle before going on air. So maybe yes, maybe no. I'm not inclined to, you know, I'd rather have them start fresh back at the end of the line.
Mr. Chairman, the yes, commission, the commission has phone lines. The commission has other methods to say, you know, to use the, you know, and it may be true, the excuse that you sent emails. Just I think that there's other ways to say. I mean, I guess the hearing officer, Mr. Hyde, the attorney Hyde. Typically, when I've had, you know, hearing officers and nobody shows up, do we try to call the to check and see if the individuals here or not?
I don't remember if we called, but, you know, I had a communication from 2 days earlier, so I didn't think that there was any sort of issue with regard to that. But we waited 15 minutes, 16 minutes, nobody shows up, and, you know, we've got a busy slate.
And I can say definitively I did not receive a call that day.
You didn't call either, though?
I did not, no, sir. Absolutely correct.
My point.
Yeah. I'll know better next time, and I do apologize for wasting the resources of the commission. That was not my intent. I had a sick sister I had to take care of, and that was my focus. And I do apologize for wasting everybody's time that day.
I don't know.
I do.
We're two to two, John. What do you think?
It's a tough call. I yeah, agree. You know, I think on the one hand, you know, we want to give the respondent a chance to be heard. On the other hand, as has been said, maybe he should just be allowed to start all over again. My inclination is still to send it back and to remand it. Let's just continue where they left off.
Well, there was never a hearing, so there's nothing.
No, there was never a hearing, but people were preparing at least for a hearing, I assume.
So wait, Marcus Luber for Commissioner Trezesi to weigh in.
What the hell was that?
Well, we're going to, Commissioner, we're going to be 2-2 here. So, and I don't think any of us are going to change our positions.
No, I didn't.
So I think we, a coin flip would have us impeach, if there's such a thing. And I think that, you know, to mark it over for Commissioner Frizzesi to weigh in on it.
Which then squeezes the time for that decision,
yeah,
too.
2 less weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll do a coin flip.
Another trip up here for this.
If it's head, I'll change my mind.
Did you hear something you said?
It's heads.
I just said marking over to over 2 weeks.
I flipped the head. I'll move to remand.
Okay.
So for the sorry.
When I have that quarter, Commissioner Streeter, I like his own quarter.
It's mixed in with others now.
It's on both sides.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we remand the hearing officer report back to the hearing officer for consideration.
I'll second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Einhorn?
Yes.
Mr. Hankins?
No.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. It's remanded. So thank you both.
Thank you. And again, I do apologize for
that. Yeah, it's just that I didn't want to have a chance where it was even a shorter time.
I agree. I think there's the
Omnibus
program. I don't know if you've gone through that. Have you used that?
What was that?
Have you used our program here for settlement?
Unfortunately, we turned over all of the responsive records, so there's no more responsive records to turn over in this case.
So this may be a case of,
there is nothing else to produce. We've given it all.
Proving a null by
hearing.
I mean, sure, Mr. Chairman, if you need to actually vote on the report that's before you. I'm just trying to...
No, we wanted to remand.
Yeah, we remanded it.
Okay,
we
do so...
Oh, do you think we also have to vote on this report?
To reject
no.
it? No,
it's not rejected. No, it's just a remand.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you again.
Thank you both very much. Thank you, counsel.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think it's up to you. Hopefully, no, right? You get a lot.
Yeah, we move on to number 3 on the agenda are these so called leave not to schedules. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They are all involving Mr. Goddow. The first three matters are all concerning complaints that Mr. Goddow filed against the General Assembly. And then the fourth is against DEEP, and the fifth is against the Board of Firearms and Permanent Examiners. If you'd like, Mr. Chairman, I can just kind of briefly summarize each one, and then you can take a vote individually. 2019-0517 against the General Assembly Transportation Committee. In his complaint, the complainant merely speculates about a meeting that might have taken place, speculates about who might have participated in the meeting, and asks that the commission void any actions that might have been taken at the meeting, and also requests that we prevent elected legislators from participating in their work at the General Assembly. The next one, 2019-0518, David Goddow, also against the General Assembly Office of Legislative Management. This is a request in which he's seeking a civil penalty and the criminal prosecution of the official in charge of that agency. 2020-0349, also David Goddow versus the General Assembly. Again, the complainant in his complaint speculates about attendees at a meeting of the Black and Puerto Rican Caucus. As a remedy, he seeks that the work of the caucus be voided and that any law that was passed as a result of the meeting be voided as well. 2020-0613, Goddow versus the Public Utilities Regulatory Authority. Complainant complained that the agency conducted a meeting via Zoom and essentially taking issue with the governor's executive order that permitted such meetings during the pandemic. 2022-0328, Goddow versus Board of Firearms Permit Examiners. Complainant complained in this case that the minutes of a meeting of the board were incomplete or inaccurate because they did not contain a detailed discussion of what was discussed at the meeting. So in all of these cases, the executive director looked at the various factors which are outlined in the notices that were provided to the parties and to the commissioners. And on balance, the executive director believes that these complaints constitute an abuse of the commission's administrative process and requests that the commission vote to approve the executive director's request to summarily deny leave to schedule a hearing in these cases.
Thank you. So we need to move on each one, or can
yes.
we move on them as a whole?
I would just move on.
Do them all. We could do them all.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Street, so I will move that we approve the consideration of the executive director's request to summarily deny leave to schedule hearings in docket numbers FIC 2019-0517, 2019-0518, 2020-0349, 2020-0613, and 2022-0328.
Mr. Commissioner Hankins, I would vote to second all five matters.
The motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion?
Yes, sir.
Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Mr. Einhorn?
Yes.
Mr. Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. So report on pending appeals?
Mr. Chairman, there's no report on pending appeals. We've not received any new appeals since the last meeting. No executive director's report. Under staff reports, I'm not sure if we mentioned at the last meeting, we actually, Linda, our administrative assistant, has taken a leave of absence, and we fortunately were able to get a really super temporary administrative assistant. She's in the meeting today. Her name is Makia. She's sitting back there, so she's helping us out with answering the phones and processing the mail and all that kind of stuff. So we're very happy about having Makia. Legislative report, I will just report that there is a lot going on at the legislature. Paula and Colleen have been really busy drafting statements and testifying. I think the work of the GAE committee kind of got bottled up, and then all of a sudden they scheduled a meeting with a very huge agenda, and a lot of our matters that we needed that we were either for or against were on that agenda. So that was like really crazy. And they've scheduled another meeting for Friday. So this week has been particularly busy. And Paula will report in more detail at the next meeting.
Any surprises?
No.
Okay.
No surprises. And no new business.
Mr. Chairman and Commissioner Strieger, we adjourn.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded. I'll take a roll call of those in favor of adjourning. Mr. Einhorn?
Yes.
Mr. Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
Myself, all in Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. We're adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
Thank you. Are we still recording?
I hope not.
She's turning it off.
She's turning it off. Cool.